From the arrest, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus, a palpable sense of fear pervades our gospel readings. The arrest of Jesus left us with fear in the disciples, but we encounter a different sort of fear when we meet Pilate. He hears the cries of the crowd to crucify Jesus, but Pilate finds no reason to give in to their request. The Jewish leaders respond, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. The fear Pilate experiences, the one that courses through this passage in John 19, is a primal fear, one that we can trace all the way back to the first time humans experienced fear in the Garden of Eden. This fear comes in reaction to seeing the depth of human brokenness and the ways in which we reject God's purposes for our lives. Pilate becomes even more afraid when he realizes they are not executing a mere political rival, but someone who claims to be one with God. If this is true, the consequences of rejecting Jesus means they are rejecting God. As the letter to the Hebrews tells us, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Pilate experiences the same fear Adam and Eve felt in Genesis chapter 3 when they saw the consequences of their rebellion against God, their creator. And the conclusion of this passage shows the reality of this outcome. When the Jewish leaders not only deny Jesus as their king, but tell Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar." Prophet Isaiah declares, "O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance." Whether Israel had their own king or ruled by another, they were supposed to trust in God as their true king. And this is, in a sense, the root of our sin when we try to take for ourselves or give to an idol the place of God's rule in the world. We began the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday praying the confession and litany of penitence. And maybe it revealed how you have compartmentalized your life, keeping Jesus at a distance. No area of our life is off limits to the kingship of Jesus. Are there habits and attitudes where you are holding back and saying, "We have no king but Caesar"? In your job, are you dishonest or ungrateful in completing your daily work and major projects? Or are you putting yourself and your goals first and saying to Jesus, "No king but my career"? When it comes to the material goods and comfortable life you desire for yourself, are you refusing Jesus from being king over the things you want? Maybe you are willingly engaging in impure thoughts and bodily desires, as if Jesus can have your heart, but not be the Lord of your body. Have you gossiped about your neighbors or made unfair assumptions about others? In all these things, denying Jesus as the king of your whole person, your thoughts, and your words. This is how we find ourselves in Holy Week, from the shout on Palm Sunday of "Hosanna, deliver us from our enemies," to the same people on Good Friday, looking the supposed Roman enemy in the face and saying, "We have no king but Caesar." We are often told God's chosen people rejected Jesus because they wanted him to be a revolutionary, overthrow with force the Roman Empire. But when Jesus is on trial, it turns out they were the ones who preferred the status quo. Jesus made them too uncomfortable. He was too radical. When he talked about God's kingdom, it wasn't somewhere far away, but coming into the here and now, and it was personal. He called tax collectors and the wealthy to work with honesty and give their goods to the poor. Jesus broke down the barriers of an us versus them mentality, and he said they should not only love their neighbors, they should love their enemies. And when the crowds called for Jesus to deliver them from their enemies, Jesus responded by delivering their enemies and making them friends of God. And he said God's people should rejoice when sinners come home. It turns out that what we most needed delivering from is not the enemy out there, but the enemy in our hearts, because sin separates us from God. And this is why John 19 takes us back to the garden in Genesis, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. When Pilate presents Jesus and says, "Behold the man," he doesn't know it, but he's recalling the words of God, "Behold the man," when in response to Adam's sin, he cast him out of the Garden of Eden. Jesus, in this passage, is the last Adam, undoing the curse of sin by taking the curse himself. God created humans to rule as kings and priests, but the curse of sin is evident in the thorns and frustrations we experience in life. In putting on the crown of thorns, Jesus wears our curse and reminds us of the calling we could not fulfill on our own. But the last Adam takes our place, paying the price for the curse of sin and restoring our calling and friendship with God. Yes, it turns out that we were God's enemies. But even while we were far from God, Christ in his love died for us. Behold your King who delivers us from the bondage of sin into his glorious kingdom.